Scripture reading for this morning will be found in John chapter 6. That's John chapter 6. We'll start with verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed a seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus answered, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty."
Everyone, if you've not had an opportunity this morning to meet Margaret Hunt's niece, Lynette, they're sitting together back there. Please say hello to her. Let her know how much we love her aunt, Margaret, how special she is to us. Margaret's going to be taking a little visit with her dog, Shadow, down to spend a little time with Lynette. So we want to make sure she knows that we're praying for her, we love her, and we'll always be here to help her in any way that we can. And please say hello, goodbye to the Chadwick family. Move into a red state. We're going to miss them. We're going to miss Buddy and Linda and Seth and Aaron and his intended. I think they're still sitting together. Must still be his intended, Cynthia, who is a sweet girl. So say goodbye to them. We're going to miss them, that's for sure. But that's kind of what happens here at our congregation, because of our location, because of the base, because of a lot of other ingredients. We do have those that come to us that we're very blessed to have here with us. They work with us. They get involved in things. And then, like a caterpillar that's sprung out of its cocoon, they fly away. But they'll always be here in our hearts. So we say goodbye to the Chadwicks as well. Have you ever known anyone that was stubborn? Anybody that's stubborn, and I don't mean to say that after I say goodbye to the Chadwicks, because there, believe me, is no inference there. But I think we all know people, we've all gotten to know people who, for some reason, are very stubborn in their opinions, in their thoughts. And they have something in their minds that they just can't seem to get rid of. And no matter how hard we try to talk to them, no matter how hard we try to explain things to them, how hard we try to show them that there is an error in the way that they're thinking, for some reason, they just don't believe us. And sometimes that disbelief of what we're trying to tell them is going to cause them harm. And that's exactly what Jesus was faced with. He was faced with trying to save a people that just didn't seem to want to be saved, because they weren't believing what he was trying to tell them. And he tried to tell them over and over and over again that he was the Messiah. They didn't believe him because they thought they knew what this Messiah was going to look like and what he was going to do. And this man that claims to be the Messiah just didn't fit that image. So what Jesus tried to do, as we see in John chapter 6, is he's trying to tell them who he is, but he's doing it in a little different way. not just telling them that he was sent from God, but he tells them why he was sent from God. That he is and represents these different characteristics of himself that are going to help them and in turn help us get from here to there. To know not only that he is the Son of God, but to know what that Son of God is to us, to help us through this life to get to heaven, is critical in our relationship with God. And so Jesus goes through a series of I am statements that we find in John chapter 6 that encapsulate his character, that proclaim his purpose in helping the nation of Israel and in turn, ultimately, the Gentiles and all of us live a life according to God's will for us. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be going through some of those I am statements. And these are not the I am statements with talk about, unless you believe that I am, you will not be saved. It's not that kind of I am statement. But it's one that Jesus used a metaphor with, a very powerful metaphor, to help us understand what this I am, not only who he is, but what he does for us. And as we go through these sayings, it's important for me to kind of lay out some things for you to help you understand what they are. And the first thing I want to do is show you the setting. What is the context in which Jesus is making this statement? Because it makes a difference. We need to know where he was and what he was doing at the time he made the statement to help us further understand not only what he said, but why he said it. The second thing we need to understand is the saying itself. What is it that Jesus said? What is it that he said that we can then formulate into the context of where he was at the time to help us understand the importance of what he was saying? So that's the saying. So we've got the setting, the saying. But the last thing I want us to look at is what is the significance to me of what he had to say. I am the bread of life. Well, that's great. I understand the context. I understand what he said. But really, what is the application to my life? What is the application of the saying to your life? So we're going to be looking at these three applications as we go through these I am statements for the next few weeks. So I am the bread of life is the first one I want us to look at. So leave your Bibles open to John chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at several verses as we go through this statement. So we see in John chapter 6, in verses 1 through 14, if you have a Bible that has headings, you see the heading, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Leading up to the time when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, he's feeding the 5,000. In fact, if you look at verses 5 and 6 of John chapter 6, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. So who brought up the subject of bread? Jesus did. Jesus, do you think he did that accidentally? Everything that he did, everything that he said was done with a purpose. And many times what Jesus did was to lay the foundation for something he was going to do or say at a later time. Where are we going to get bread? Just think about that. Where are we going to get bread for the people to eat? Jesus already knew what he was going to be saying. He already knew he was going to tell them, I am the bread of life. So he brings up bread now. He wasn't just going to perform the miracle of feeding the 5,000 to perform a miracle. Not just to feed them something. But what Jesus was really doing was setting the stage for a truth that he wanted to get across to them. And this was the best way for him to do it. So what happened after he had fed the 5,000 men plus women and children? You remember what happened? They gathered up the leftovers, didn't they? And how many baskets of leftovers were there? You remember? 12. There were 12. What was left over? What was left over? Fish? Were there any fish left over? No. Everything that was gathered up and put into the 12 baskets was bread. There's that word again. There weren't any fish left over. If I were there, I would have given them, would have been plenty of fish left over. But there were no fish left over, as it was all bread. Again, you see Jesus setting the table for this truth that he was about to give them. I am the bread of life. Verse 14, chapter 6. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I want us to look at verses 15 through 18. And this is Moses speaking. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God nor see his great fire anymore, or we will die.' Then the Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I commanded him.'" So now, they begin to question Jesus as the prophet. The day after feeding the 5,000, the multitudes came seeking Jesus in Capernaum. But why were they seeking him? What were they really interested in? They were more interested in the results of the signs than they were about the purpose of the signs. They had had their fill by eating the loaves and fishes, and then Jesus began to contrast food that spoils with food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man gives you. We see in verse 27. But then the multitude does something else. Now remember, they were schooled in Jewish history. They were schooled in Jewish law. So they asked him, "How can you possibly be any greater than Moses?" Because Moses was the greatest prophet to them that ever lived. But Jesus tells them, in fact, look at verses 32 through 40. Let me get back there. John chapter 6. 32 through 40. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." You see, in their minds, they're thinking, sure, you just fed 5,000 men plus women and children, but you gave them food that was already here. You gave them bread that already was on earth, that already existed. How did Moses feed them bread? Remember? Bread came from where? From heaven, right? It's easy for you to do it. The bread was already here on earth. But Moses, the great prophet, brought bread down from heaven. So how can you say that you are as great as Moses is? You fed the 5,000 one meal. Moses fed the entire Israelite nation for 40 years. How can you possibly compare yourself to Moses. And what did Jesus tell him? What did Jesus tell him? Moses did not feed you from heaven. God fed you from heaven. And now he has brought his son down from heaven to feed you. I am the bread of life. We sit here today and think, why didn't they recognize that? I mean, how simple is that? We get it, don't we? We get it. But they didn't have the written word. They had something far greater. They had the word with them. But there were so many other pressures outside working against what Jesus was trying to tell them, trying to explain to them, that they still were having a difficult time understanding the concept of what Jesus was trying to tell them. That was the battle that Jesus was up against. And so we see then the saying, he gave them this messianic claim that I am the bread of life. In verse 42, they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Look, we saw this kid grow up. We know who he is. We know who his mom and dad. We know Joseph. He's the carpenter. And we know Mary, and we know the brothers and sisters. We've seen him as a child. How can he say that he came from heaven? He was a boy. We know him as a boy. They couldn't visualize this boy as being a gift from God because they saw him as a child. They saw him grow up. He was just a boy to them. They didn't believe him because they knew who his mother and father were. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and his own home. Jesus was in his home country, but did not get the recognition that he deserved. You see, God had always provided bread to sustain the physical lives of his people. And we see that over and over again. We talked about the manna and the quail in the wilderness. Remember, the ravens brought both bread and meat twice daily to the prophet Elijah during the famine to eat. The instruction of Jesus when he's teaching them how to pray. The Lord teaches how to pray. Remember, what did Jesus say about bread? Give us this day our daily bread. God provides for the physical needs of his children, but what about their spiritual needs? Verse 27 of chapter 6. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, the Father has placed his seal of approval. I'm the bread of life. You ever have bread that you put in the cupboard and you forgot about, and now it's time for that sandwich that you've been longing for all day long? Maybe liverwurst. And you go to the bread and you pull the bread out and you see it's all moldy. Because it's been 2 weeks since the don't use past date and you still got it in your cupboard and that's the only bread you have. It spoils. Physical bread spoils. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. In him, it's eternal. It's spiritual bread, as we see in verse 27. It's imperishable. It satisfies us completely. The spiritual bread imparts spiritual life to us. And the spiritual bread is eternal. It never expires. It is never out of date. And as we look at this concept of Jesus being the bread of life, we see it in two different aspects. The bread that Jesus gives is his life, is his flesh. But also, Jesus gave us words that are life, as we see in verse 63. He is the bread of life. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. So Jesus is both in his life and in his flesh. He is bread, and his words teach us how we need to live. So we've looked at now the setting and we've looked at the saying, but let's look very quickly at the significance. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you that Jesus is the bread of life? First of all, it calls us to him. Let's look at some verses together again in John chapter 6. Verse 35. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, he who comes to me. That's something we need to do. That's our action. We need to come to him. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So that's a call to action on our part. There's something we have to do. We have to come to him. We have to believe in him. That takes obedience. That takes faith. That takes trust. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never, what? I will never drive away. All who comes to me, I will never drive away. Look at verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. How does God draw us to him? How are we drawn to Jesus? Right here. This is how we're drawn to him, by the words of life, by the bread of life, in the words that Jesus teaches us, draws us to him. It is written, verse 45, in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. There we go again. We're being called to action. And finally, in verse 65, he went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. Again, the way that that's done is through his Holy Word. Jesus gave us the words of life. We come to him and acknowledge that he is Christ. He is the Son of God. We believe in him. We trust in him. And what that does for us is it opens up all these beautiful promises that he's made. That we shall never hunger. That we're going to be satisfied with Jesus Christ, our bread of life. That we're never going to be thirsty. That we're never going to be driven away. That he will raise us up on the last day. That we will have eternal life. That we will not die. That we will live forever. That he will abide in us as we abide in him. If there's anything that we learn about the history of human religion, it's that man is convinced that he needs to work his way to be saved. That there is something that I can do apart from God's grace and mercy. There's something I can do to work my way to heaven. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. You see, this is such a basic human desire because God has created us with eternity in mind. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, it tells us this. He, meaning God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We're told that there's nothing that we can do to earn our way to heaven. Because the only thing that our life has earned is sin. And the wages of sin is death. That's right. There's nothing we can do apart from God. There's only one answer. There's only one answer to our salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. No matter how hard we try, we can never fulfill that ourselves, that which Jesus has done for us. When he died on the cross, he took the sins of mankind upon himself and made atonement for our sins. Jesus, and only Jesus, satisfies our hunger and our thirst for righteousness, because he is our bread of life. Interesting, as we go through the book of John and see the various I Ams that we're going to be going through as well, there's a purpose to every single one. There is a setting for everyone. There is a saying for everyone. And there is a significance to our lives today, right now, for everyone. And if you're here this morning and you see in your life you've not been leading the kind of life that you know God wants you to, that you've not embraced the bread of life in your life, we need to do that. You need to do that. I need to do that. We need to make sure we do it every day. So this week, think about this I am that Jesus is talking about. I am the bread of life. Think about that when you get up in the morning. Let that be one of the first things you think about after, well, I can't wait to get that cup of coffee. And then think about, I am the bread of life. And see if just those few words kind of set the stage for your day. Kind of get you off on the right foot. And I think that if we really sit there and we think about this, I am the bread of life, it's going to lead us into a prayer of thanksgiving. That God has given us the bread of life to sustain us physically while we're here on earth, but more importantly, spiritually, as we grow and mature in Christ, to be the kind of person that God wants us to be. If we can help you do any of that this morning, that's what we're here for. We would ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.